This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Tailgate.
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 It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate. Great to be back on with you. I am Paul Pabst. This is 670 The Score. This is the tailgate. We talk football. It's prime time of year for this show and for me. There's so much football on it, and my head's on a swivel, literally. We'll be live every weekend going forward till after the Super Bowl. A huge week for the Bears on and off the field. More off than on. We'll talk about that in a minute. A wild week in a college football already underway. Some events last night really changed things. We'll fill you in on what that means. We'll recap the Thanksgiving Day games in the NFL. Recap the Thanksgiving meal I took down the other day, which was monstrous. There are so many games from now until Sunday night, till Monday night, college and pro. You need like multiple TVs. You need like an advisor. You need like an ombudsman or something to help you see all these games. You have to need a remote in your hand as you go at all times. Coming up in a bit, Lawrence Holmes from Spiegel & Holmes on 670 The Score will join us to kind of recap yesterday's events, because that was one of those days in Chicago sports history. It literally hasn't happened before, and we're going to get into it in detail. I'm still swimming with my head. By the way, a couple of things I want to get to before we move on and talk a lot of Bears. Last night, if you didn't stay up, Georgia beat Georgia Tech 44-42 in 8 overtimes. Let that sink in. I watched every minute of that game. Georgia Tech, great uniforms. They're a bit of a giant killer this year, and they had Georgia. This is a deep, deep rivalry, probably an underrated rivalry down south. And Georgia Tech was about to take them down in regular time, in regulation time, and they lost it. They gave up 2 touchdowns in the last 5 minutes and went to overtime. Georgia Tech had them. Georgia, they lose that game, they're probably out of the playoff picture. So keep an eye on playoffs today. We got a lot to get to with that. Again, before we get to the Bears, there's a couple other things. Huge day on the score. Rally House. Man, I wish I was there today. Stop by, say hello to Mark Grody, Gabe Ramirez. Today at the Rally House Wrigleyville from 8 to 11 a.m. before Illinois takes on Northwestern across the street at Wrigley Field. Go up there, hang out, chill, get a brat. Mark and Gabe would broadcast for the Rally House, where you get entered to win a $25 gift card. Rally House Wrigleyville, a must-stop location for all your Illinois gear, Northwestern gear, all your gear before the game. And it's such a busy day on the score. Number two, Ohio State takes on Michigan today as they get the rivalry kicked off again. OSU, they're looking for some payback. Michigan's a bit down. This, don't sleep on this game. Tune in, kickoff 11 o'clock on the score and the Odyssey app. One last thing before we get to the Bears. Yesterday was wild. I was texting back and forth with my guy, Lawrence Holmes, right before Eberflus got fired. I was like, what's going to happen? He's like, I don't know. There's this press conference. Is it going to happen? It's not going to happen. And then once it did, it was all hands on deck at the score yesterday, from management to the newest guy on the crew. Everybody came in. People were out of town. People were out of their parents' house. Everybody rallied at the score and did a great job covering it. So proud to be on the station. Let's keep it going. This is the point in the show where I prep you for the Bears' next game. There's no game this weekend. They played two in the past 5 days. Two games in 5 days. When we left off last Saturday, I said, okay, the rest of the season does not look good. This losing streak is awful. If you could somehow get one from Minnesota, or as unlikely it is, one from Detroit, that'd be a nice week. It'd be good for morale. You go into Thanksgiving, you watch the Detroit game, maybe you get a win against Minnesota. Well, we know how that worked out. So I want to go back because this was an eventful week. Let's start with Minnesota last Sunday. Bears, great fourth quarter comeback, slow start, not a surprise. They made that great fourth quarter comeback, and then they do the onside kick. And the onside kick in the NFL is basically almost dead. They get a lucky onside kick. Everyone, the Bears fans, I remember jumping up and down, let's go, let's see what we can do in overtime, let's hit it. It was kind of a no-show in overtime. Teased again, kind of like the Packers game. It was a win that turned into a loss, a lot of pain, getting used to it. Like the Commanders game, like even go back to the Colts game, that was a painful one. If there's a way to lose a game in 2024, the Bears coaching staff was able to find it. The odd thing is Caleb Williams' rep as a fourth quarter quarterback is rising every week. Go back to the Minnesota game. You know, as bad as that loss was and, you know, the overtime, Caleb Williams and the offense did enough in the fourth quarter, not enough in the first three quarters. That gets us to Thanksgiving, facing a powerful Lions team that really is destined to go to the Super Bowl. They are the number one seed right now in Vegas for the Super Bowl going into that game. Thursday, you're getting up, your Thanksgiving, you know, 12:30 on the East Coast, 11:30 in Chicago. You're getting ready for the Lions game. You know, you don't have a lot of hope. You got a little bit of hope. The Lions were rolling in the first half of that game, up and down the field. The Bears weren't. I think at one point there were 16 first downs for the Lions and zero for the Bears. At halftime, it wasn't a blowout on the scoreboard, but it felt like a blowout. The kid's like, let's go play, Dad. Let's go out in the snow. I'm like, yeah, the Bears have a chance. My daughter's like, come on. I'm like, yeah, I know. But the second half was awesome. I'll bet you a lot of football fans looked away from the Bears-Lions game and didn't tune in the second half. Or it's casual because if you're not a Bears fan or a Lions fan. But Caleb Williams and the offense had a great second half. The defense slowed Jared Goff enough. Two fourth quarter TD passes set the Bears up with, surprisingly, shockingly, a chance to win against the Lions, a powerhouse, on Thanksgiving Day. It was going to be the greatest Thanksgiving ever. Start the day with a Bears win, eat your face off, and watch some more college football and pro football. You know, on that final drive by the Bears, there was everything. There were some great catches by DJ Moore. There were some bad sacks that Caleb Williams took. There were some good runs by Swift. There were some dumb penalties. Jenkins, other side of the ball, had some dumb penalties as well, the Lions. But the Bears were this close to sending it to overtime. And then the final 30 seconds happened. And if you weren't watching that game live, and if you're listening to the show, I know you were watching that game live. The Bears needed just a handful of yards to get into field goal territory. And when the clock is running, I kept double checking, like, they have a timeout. I'm looking at, they have a timeout. You can see it on the screen. The announcer's like, they have a timeout. But if you're watching, watch it again and watch the sidelines. You could sense, you could see the confusion. It's like the coaching staff was waving their arms and gesticulating, and Caleb Williams was calling stuff out and moving people around, and the clock is ticking. And Jim Nance and Romo are just like, what are they doing? What's happening? This, now it's the last play. And this weird pass near the five-yard line, I don't know, whatever works for you, but it felt like a complete miscommunication. It felt like Caleb Williams and the offense on the field were doing one thing, and the coaching staff wanted another. It was palpable. I'm watching from my couch, and I'm, you know, with the timeout still available, that's what was driving everybody crazy. The clock just kept running and running. Yeah, I was standing up and screaming at my TV. All my friends and family are like, what are you doing? I'm like, you were doing it as well. It was mind-boggling. Confusion. The coaching staff waving their arms. You know, this seemed like a simple fix. Even, you know, I'm not a hardcore football guy. I didn't play at a high level. I'm like, burn a timeout and reset. They could have burned a timeout with 18 seconds to go. settled down, called a nice 7-yard out, and kicked a field goal. Once those, you know, those timeouts, they don't hold over to the next game. That's the easy joke, but they don't hold over. Use it, reset, they didn't. The clock goes dead, and, I mean, people were incredulous. Bears fans, non-Bears fans, people on social media were like, what are the Bears doing? You know, it seemed like a way to go to overtime. Whatever happens in overtime, fine. You lose in overtime, fine. You took the Lions to overtime, great. That would have been like a good loss. But no, a half-hearted play that looked messy and desperate in the final seconds. Another win, or at least a chance for a win, was turned to a loss on national TV by you. But this is a monstrous audience. The early game on Thanksgiving, there was like 35 million people watching that mess. It was a national embarrassment, truly. And moments after the game, Bears fans are still coming down, getting ready to watch the next game, getting ready to eat. I'm just shaking my head. I'm watching it play out on social media, and I can't wait to hear from Matt Eberflus, the former Bears head coach, by the way. Currently the Bears head coach when this happened. And after the game, I knew what Eberflus was going to do. I could have wrote it. I could have scripted it and told you what he's going to say. All season, he stuck by his decisions and his coaching staff's decisions, which I do respect from a standpoint of he has a policy of standing by decisions. But when something is that messy and clearly went wrong, whether it was people on the field or the coaching staff, just eat it. One time before you go, Matt, just say, you know what? We blew it. We didn't have our you-know-what together, and we let a game that was winnable go on national TV. But again, here's what Matt Eberflus said after the game.
At the end, when you saw the clock tick down under 10, why didn't you call timeout?
Yeah, so right there, we liked the play that we had, and we were hoping that he was going to call it or you know, get the ball snapped, and then we would have called timeout right there. But once it's under 7 there, you know, then you call timeout there, then you're basically throwing the ball to the end zone. Because once it's under 12, you can't throw it inside with no timeout. And it was third going into fourth. You know, so that's a big deal. So it was third going into fourth. That's why we wanted to preserve the timeout.
How, in retrospect, how should you have handled the final sequence?
Yeah, I like what we did there. Again, once it's under 7, you know, you're gonna call you know, timeout there, or actually under 12, and then really you don't have an option. You know, because it's third to fourth, you got to throw it into the end zone then. So to me, it's I think we handled it the right way. I do believe that. You know, you just re-rack the play, get it in bounce, and call timeout. And that's why we held it and didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
I need an aspirin after hearing that again. I'm telling you, man, this is 670 Score. I'm Paul Papps. This is the tailgate. Lawrence Holmes is coming up in about 10 minutes. He's going to help me clear this up. But if you didn't hear the question, the follow-up question by the reporter is, in retrospect, how would you have handled this differently? If you don't say in some fashion that you would have handled it differently, then you're overbacking your own play. And I think that's what bothers Bears fans as much as the losing, because they're not the worst team in the league. There's a lot of teams that are worse. The Bears are competitive. They're decent. They're in every single game. Go back to that Houston game week two. But it's almost comical with this coaching staff. If there's a way to lose a close game in 2024, the Bears coaching staff found it. And the national media, the football analysts, are having a field day with this. Again, I work on a national show, the Dan Patrick Show, and we goof on things, we make fun of things, we talk about things. Sometimes a team is bad and irrelevant. Sometimes a team is messy and ugly. The Bears at the national level are like messy and ugly. No offense, but that's how the national media looks at it. Like, what are they doing there? How are they handling things? Oh, and it's going to get worse. Let's get to Friday morning. I wake up. A lot of people thought Matt Eberflus would be fired. You know, he usually has a day after media session after the loss against the Lions. And at 9 a.m., Chicago time media session was scheduled. It's a Zoom. All the reporters get together and they do about a half an hour with Matt Eberflus. It's standard procedure after a Bears win or loss. I'm texting back and forth with Lawrence Holmes. I'm like, what's going on? What is this going to happen? I'm watching like Mark Grody and the guys from The Score are live tweeting saying there's no link yet for the Zoom. We don't know if he's doing this. So Bears fans and the Bears media, it's playing out on social media in real time on Friday. It was fantastic, but weird. Is Matt Eberflus going to show up and do this press conference? Because if he shows up to do the press conference, you would think that means the Bears are greenlighting him to stay as the Bears head coach. You would never let a coach who's about to be fired within hours or maybe even days do a press conference after a game. The PR staff shouldn't do that. Management shouldn't do that. The GM should not do that. That is PR 101. You learned it week one. And then here comes 9 o'clock local time, 9:05. Oh, here's the Zoom link. Oh, there's Eberflus. And the conventional wisdom in Chicago, I'm talking to all the guys at The Score, and they're like, well, I guess they're keeping him. So Eberflus does his press conference. He's talking about this or that, going over this or that of the Lions game. And everyone thought, well, I guess the Bears are keeping him for another week. or at the rest of the season. One question did stand out, though. Eberflus was asked about his status and about the status for coaching against San Francisco. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, like I said, I'm just going to be working on, finishing up this game, doing a good job evaluating that, our after-action report like we always do, and then I'm going to be working into San Francisco. Again, those are conversations we'll have, and again, I'm confident that I'll be working on to San Francisco and getting ready for that game.
2.5 hours after that was uttered by Matt Eberflus, he was out of a job. Now, I don't know if the PR staff was not told. Management hadn't made a decision. They hadn't met with Eberflus. That's not our problem. You have to have your act together when you wake up in that morning at 6 a.m. and get to work when you're a Bears guy. You know, general manager, ownership, president, get together and decide what you're going to do at 7:30 a.m. And then you decide who is the interim coach handling this. You fire the head coach if that's what you're going to do. And then you let the interim coach do the press conference and you move on. Pull the Band-Aid and pull it fast. And Ted, here's where I have to like pause and just, sigh. And as a Bears fan, go, the Bears did the right thing yesterday by letting Matt Eberflus go, but they did it in the wrong way. If you're firing Eberflus, which the fan base would universally support and the national media almost expected, you do it. You do it and you wake up Friday morning and you don't let Eberflus do that press conference. This is not an original take here by me. This is obvious. And you fire him a couple hours later. By doing this, the public football perception is that you don't know what you're doing as a franchise. Whether you do or don't, and we don't see behind the curtains that much. Ryan Poles doesn't talk a lot. Ownership never talks. So we don't know what's going on. And it's hard to know. You know, Grody sometimes has a good report. You know, David Hall has good reports. I always go by what they say and what's going on inside Hallis Hall. But it's hard to find out what's going on. I would love to know hour by hour what happened yesterday. But it looked bad. It looked messy. And it was the capper of a 6-week run of futility that will go down in Chicago sports history. I'm not kidding. Who needs a drink? Welcome back to the Tailgate 670 The Score. I'm Paul Papps. That's the riff on the Bears. It was a wild weekend of football. We got a lot to get to. Lawrence Holmes will join us in 10 minutes and talk me off the ledge a little bit. But it is a big football weekend. The NFC North right now, the Bears not really in it at 4-8. Green Bay at 9-3, right in the mix. Minnesota 9-2, got a game this weekend. They could be tied with Green Bay if they lose. Take a little bit of a lead if they win. You still definitely going to have two playoff teams for the NFC North. And the Lions, 11-1, rolling, having no problems whatsoever. A big football weekend. Let's get to what the game's coming up. Okay, real quick, Thursday. Bears-Lions, we know what happened there. We just rehashed that. Giants versus Cowboys, not supposed to be good on paper. Giants have like the third-string quarterback, Drew Lock. Cowboys have Cooper Rush. A back-to-back nice performances by Cooper Rush as he wins it for the Cowboys. Cowboys are, they're a decent team. They're actually playing a little better with their backup quarterback, but they're too far out of it. Dolphins-Lions was a late game. Dolphins versus Packers. Packers got a nice win. Dolphins had nice uniforms, not much of a fight. Packers are looking pretty good. The one stat I don't like about Jordan Love, I think he's a really nice quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. I'm not going to say and make a declaration on him at all because it's a little early. I think he's under 40 starts in his career, but he's a really good quarterback. They had a stat on Jordan Love when he's blitzed and he's rushed. He's bottom three with pressure in the league and quarterback rating. That's a little bit of an issue. If you're the Packers, a little bit of a tell on Jordan Love. Big weekend of football ahead. Let's get to the Sunday games. You got, Raiders Chiefs. Don't overlook that one. A lot of people probably missed it. Prime Video, 2 o'clock Chicago time on Friday. I'm telling you, I missed the first 5 minutes of that game because I forgot it was coming on and I work in sports. Raiders, that was an ugly ending. I was Bearsian the way they handled the last few minutes of that game, if that's a word. Chiefs win a game again. The Chiefs have found a way to keep every team in every game. And who knows, will they lose a game? I don't know. But they're so used to being in close games and finding a way out that this is what they do for a living. They are the one score win team, and that's what they do for a living. They're just really awesome at it. They have no trouble with it. And every week you want to say, they're playing with fire. Yeah, but as long as you have Mahomes with 2 minutes left, you're going to be fine. The games this weekend, Chargers at Falcons. Chargers and Falcons both need one. Chargers giving 2.5. Steelers versus Bengals. The Bengals are the weirdest team. They're 4-7, and they feel like a really good football team. They have a very good offense. They have to win out for a chance at the playoffs. Cardinals versus Vikings, big for both teams. Vikings, Cardinals kind of, they were good at the early in the season, good midway through the season. They kind of cooled off. Should be an easy one for the Vikings. Vikings giving 3.5 to the Cardinals. Colts versus Patriots. Anthony Richardson back for the Colts. Drake May, some young quarterbacks to watch. Not a big reason to watch that one. Seahawks at Jets. Seahawks should roll them. Titans versus Commanders, Jaguars versus Texans, Ram versus Saints. Rams are 5-6. Good squad, though. Buccaneers versus Panthers. Buccaneers, again, another good team that's under 500 at 5-6. Eagles versus Ravens is one of the late games. That's a biggie for both. Ravens 8-4, Eagles 9-2. And the night game on Sunday night, 49ers versus Bills. That's huge. Niners are just too hurt. I don't think Buffalo has any trouble with them. The 49ers, this is just not going to be their year. And then the Monday Night Football game, Browns versus Broncos. Weirdly, the Broncos are 7-5, and Bo Nix is playing fantastic. Back to the Bears. I do want to do a minute on the Bears playing the early game on Thanksgiving. This didn't set up well for me and for my Thanksgiving. When I get ready for Thanksgiving, I want to get up around 9, start pretending I'm helping in the kitchen, and then get on the couch and watch about 12 hours of football. And I just want to casually watch the games. I don't want to focus too much. When the Bears are playing on Thanksgiving, you got to focus. It decides your mood. I want to just kind of look at the games, peek at the games between drinks, appetizers, dinner, and family time, in that order, by the way. I don't want my Thanksgiving day or weekend mood ruined by a Bear game that starts before noon. And that's exactly what happened. We don't have to rehash it, even though we're going to with Lawrence Holmes in about 8 minutes. What made it worse, a bad first half where you could have easily ignored the second half. It became compelling. They drew us back in the fourth quarter. Caleb and the offense woke up big time. And they got us to the point where, like, I can't believe the Bears are going to get the... Every week on this show, I seem to make that noise when I recap the Bears' last loss. I'm getting pretty good at it. Surrounded by family, screaming at a blameless television as the game ended. It was sad. It was a sad way to start my Thanksgiving. Did it affect how I ate? No. I ate like a madman. I probably put on 6 pounds the past 4 days. I'm a professional. This is the tailgate. All right, coming up next, we're going to hit some college football, more on the Eberflus firing, and we'll be joined by my guy, Southside guy, 104th Street, Lawrence Holmes of Spiegel & Holmes. How does this bad run by the Bears turn into a positive for the Bears? This is the tailgate. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Tailgate. I am Paul Pabst, 670 The Score. Wild day in Chicago yesterday. Wall-to-wall coverage of football, the Bears, what they're doing next. Right here on 670 The Score. Don't turn your dial. I was texting with Lawrence Holmes yesterday when the news broke, and he'll be joining us in a couple minutes. It was a wild day, and it's fun to listen to. I was sitting there with my family, and like, what are you doing? I had the phone. I got the Odyssey app. I'm like, I got to hear what's going on. This is fantastic. This is wild. They are going to let Eberflus do the press conference, and then they're going to let him go 2 hours later. So a wild day, but let's get to some college football because Last week in college football, there were some impactful games. Alabama got absolutely rolled by Oklahoma. I mean, it was shocking. Oklahoma did nothing all year, and Alabama was a good squad, and they got rolled. And Alabama got taken out of the playoff picture. They need a truckload of help to get back in. Indiana, they had the big one against Ohio State. They didn't really put on a good performance, but they're still in the playoff picture. Ole Miss blew it last weekend, losing to Florida, or they were right in the playoffs. Yesterday, Colorado rolled Oklahoma State. That was nuts if you didn't see that one. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are playing out of their minds. I think both of them could be invited to the Heisman ceremony. By the way, if you want a sure thing bet, Colorado, Travis Hunter, their two-way star, he is winning the Heisman Trophy. Ashton Gentry at Boise State, I think he's going to be finish a nice second place. But what Travis Hunter is doing, playing both ways, defensive back and wide receiver the entire season, basically 90% of the plays on both sides of the ball. He had three touchdown catches and a pick yesterday. That's how you close on the Heisman. It's a great story. He's a great player, an unbelievable talent. You play two ways the entire season, that story will get you the Heisman Trophy. Do not bet against this one. The college football 12-team playoff, it's still in flux, but we have a great day today. If you're going up to Wrigley, by the way, stop by the Rally House after this show. We're doing live shows there, 670 to score right before Illinois plays. What it looks like today, right now, college football, really interesting day of games. Michigan versus Ohio State. The past couple of years, Michigan was housing Ohio State at the Big House. This year, it's payback time. Michigan is down. They don't have a good quarterback. Ohio State is going to open up a can on Michigan. If it goes the other way, Ryan Day is in big trouble. Ryan Day of Ohio State cannot lose this game. Period. I don't even know what to add to that one. Tennessee versus Vandy today. Keep an eye on that one. South Carolina versus Clemson. South Carolina still in the mix. Clemson still in the mix. Maryland versus Penn State today. Keep an eye on that. Maryland's good for one upset a year. Don't know if they're going to pull it off today. Penn State, again, we don't really love them on this show. They're not a very threatening team. Notre Dame versus USC, an afternoon game. I think that kicks off at 2:30 Chicago time. Don't sleep on that. USC hasn't done a lot this year. Notre Dame needs a clean win here to host a playoff game. Cal at the SMU Mustangs today. SMU is building a football program. Keep an eye on them. They've got dough down there. Miami versus Syracuse, an upset special for Syracuse. Auburn versus Alabama. Oh, man. Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, the head coach down there, he cannot afford another loss in any way. And if you lose to Auburn today, oh, man. The legacy of Nick Saban, the shadow of Saban. You got Arizona State. Nice program. Very fun this year. They're in the playoff picture. They got to take care of business against Arizona. Washington versus Oregon, and then Texas versus Texas A&M later today. Texas can weirdly afford a loss, so hopefully they'll be okay. Lawrence Holmes will be joining us in a second. We'll keep an eye out for that. And it's just such a weird day yesterday. It's one of those days where you kind of can't believe what happened, and you're not sure how to react as a Bears fan. And I will say this, when I'm watching, I always try to say, is there a positive out of a negative? And I don't know if there was yesterday. I wanted to go back quickly to sharing the blame and other things like this. I talked to Ross Tucker the other day, and he told me about the end of the Bears game. He said, keep an eye on what happened with Caleb Williams. In the last 30 seconds against the Lions, who changed the play? Was the play changed? Because it seemed like it was taking a long time. Here's Caleb Williams after the game.
Yeah, I ended up changing the play because, you know, with the play we had, 13 seconds, any play you have with 13 seconds with no time or with, well, you had a timeout, but with, you know, that situation, 13 seconds, make a call and try and get it snapped and take the shot.
Yeah, that at least shows that there was some confusion on the sidelines and maybe some confusion on the field, right? So Caleb Williams cannot be completely blameless in this. I don't know if he has the autonomy to call a timeout there. I would hope that even a rookie quarterback could say, like, this doesn't look like it's working. Let's burn one here. Let's see what we could pull off. So that's one to keep an eye on. The one thing I will say about the Bears and the situation right now is it feels really ugly the past 6 weeks. I don't even know if that's the right word. It's probably worse than ugly. But it's just you have to think positive in the fact that this may be the right thing and this may be the necessary thing. You can go back 100 years ago when the Bulls acquired Phil Jackson. And they moved on from Doug Collins. And it was weird because people didn't like that. I know it's 1,000 years ago and you're probably like, why are you bringing this up? But that's what it was. And they brought in this coach and they took the Bulls to, you know, fantastic heights. And that's where the Bears are right now. You have to look at the past couple of weeks and say to yourself, you know, what if the Bears had beaten Minnesota? What if the Bears had beaten the Lions? What if they went on a bit of a run? Did they stay with this coaching staff? Who knows? It's one of those things that's a little weird, a little funky. And you got to look at the positive of this. If you get the right head coach, then this could be a footnote in Bears history instead of a big deal in Bears history. You're listening to the Tailgate 670 Score. I am Paul Papps. Great day of football ahead. Now bringing in the co-host of Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. I've been listening to this guy forever. He's from 107th Street. I'm from 104th Street. Lawrence Holmes, let me get right to it, Lawrence. I know where you were on Thanksgiving Day. You're hanging with the family, watching the Bears. Can you describe the scene in the living room and the final 30 seconds of the Bears-Lions game for you?
Yeah, Paulie, my poor little dad is just sitting there. We're watching the game together, and he's like paralyzed by what's going on, where my mom had moved back dinner for us.
Oh,
and she said, well, you know, we can wait until after the game to have dinner. And then the last 32 seconds of the game happens, and my dad is just sitting there. Like, I had gotten up, like the game was over. I decided that I was going to wait to do my podcast until I got home.
Is your dad a football guy?
No, he's an academic. Like, he's a logician. Stuff needs to make sense for him. But I've been living in this sports world for forever. So even the stuff that doesn't make sense makes sense. So I just got up and got ready to go have dinner and started putting my thoughts together for what was going to happen on my podcast and whether or not we were going to have radio shows the next day.
Right, right.
And my mother had to walk over, turn off the television, because she saw that her husband was just stunned by what went on. And then he finally kind of came out of it and came and joined us for dinner.
It was wild because he's a smart guy. He's probably looking and saying, what I saw on TV doesn't make sense. And that's how it felt to even me. I didn't play high-end football, but I'm sitting there watching. I'm sure you're sitting there watching going, there's a timeout. What's going on? And you're screaming at the TV. And do you think that after the past 6 weeks, not that it's the nail in the coffin, but it was the public perception nail in the coffin for the coaching staff?
It's pretty crazy to have so many people speak out about what they saw. Bill Cowher, Jimmy Johnson.
JJ Watt.
Went off. JJ yep. Watt, and maybe the most important, Matt Ryan. And you're yep. going, wait, Matt Ryan, why is he the most important? Well, because his best friend is Ryan Poles. Mm. And they have been friends since Boston College. That was, you know, one of his offensive linemen. And he went off on Matt Eberflus after the game was done. So I think that if you add in that everyone saw this and the football intelligentsia was like, someone said that it was the worst in-game coaching that they had ever seen.
It's funny. I was watching Nash. I saw the Matt Ryan clip you're talking about. And Matt Ryan is not a hot taker. He's not a flamethrower. He's a measured guy on CBS. And he was just like incredulous because especially the quarterbacks, they know game management and they were going off. And I think that's what's as frustrating as anything for Bears fans is that it's okay not to win. It's not okay not to win, but it's understandable not to win sometimes with a rookie quarterback. But when you're being embarrassed on a national level, that doesn't feel good. You're walking around your Bears t-shirts or you're walking through an airport. You know, I work on the Dan Patrick Show. You know our show. And when I walk in on Mondays, the guys are like, hey, man, nice game the other day. I'm like, come on, I got to deal with these guys. And it's just that's the frustration. And I'm sure you feel that as well.
Yeah. And Bears fans who listen to The Score know all too well about this. Because think about it. A couple weeks ago, they're dealing with their neighbor. They're right. dealing with the Packer fan that they have to deal with at their job, or the folks that live on the border or work in Wisconsin. They have to deal with that constantly. You have to deal with Vikings fans who have now become a little, you know, chesty over the last couple of years, and Lions yeah. fans. And to just be the group that has been waiting forever for things to get right, and they never seem to go right, it's terribly frustrating for every Bears fan to watch this continue to work the way that it does.
Lawrence Holmes from Spiegel and Holmes on 670 Score joining the Tailgate. I'm Paul Pepst. Okay, you wake up Friday morning. You've been doing this a long time. You know how the wind blows with teams getting rid of coaches and how the dance of getting rid of a coach works. You and I were texting on Friday morning, and you said if Eberflus does the press conference, he's got to be staying. I'm like, yeah, right? So walk me through what you saw on Friday morning with how the Bears handled things leading up into the press conference.
Well, yeah, we had talked and I said, you know, I'm curious about how all of this stuff plays out. And that's why I said, like, I wanted to wait to talk with you until that press conference happened or didn't happen. Right. Because if it didn't happen, then we would have had our answer. But the Bears decided that they were just going to do both things, that they were going to allow for the coach to do the press conference and they were going to fire him. So it was strange because ordinarily they send out a link a couple hours before they say, hey, here's the time that so-and-so is going to be available for all of this. Right. So it's 8:59 and I'm watching all the beat reporters and they're like, we haven't gotten a link yet.
Yeah.
So then 9 o'clock comes around. They get the link. Eberflus shows up on this thing and he has his press conference. But one of the things he says is, I haven't talked with Kevin and Ryan yet. Oh. And once he said that, I was like, oh, it's possible he still gets fired.
Right.
Because he hasn't met with the bosses, which I think is bizarre. I think the way that they went about it was terrible. I have no love of loss for Matt Eberflus as a coach. I do like him as a guy.
Right.
And I thought that they kind of hung him out to dry a little bit with that. All you have to do is say Bears leadership or Matt Eberflus is scheduled to talk at noon. Like, you could have just moved the press conference
back. Bump it back. All you got to do is bump it back. Talk to the PR people. Say everything's on hold until we meet with this guy.
Yes.
And instead, they took a situation that everybody in Bearland wanted Matt Eberflus fired. Like you said, there's a difference between a bad guy and not the right fit for a head coach. I'm a good guy. I don't want the Bears hiring me as a head coach because I don't know anything. But when they did that, they made a bad situation uglier and messier. Instead of pulling the Band-Aid, firing this guy, putting out the nice statement, we wish him the best, we're parting of ways, the typical PR statement, and then you move on and give the Bears fans what they want, a week of freshness, where we didn't wait 4 or 5 days to get rid of the coach. You did it within 15 hours or 24 hours of the loss to the Lions, and it made it a little bit worse. Does that overall, before we get to the next step with the coaching staff, does the way the Bears handle things or don't handle things concern you as much as anything with this franchise?
Yeah, it does. And maybe it doesn't matter if you put enough money in front of the person who you want to have the job. Right, but right. There should be a right way and a wrong way to do things. Like, inside of the statement that Kevin Warren put out yesterday, he talked about how they were aligned and energized and our operation is, it's not like that. That's just not true. Like, it's not aligned. It's not clean. It's not. These are the reasons that Kevin Warren was brought in. Mm-hmm. He was brought in to make this a more professional outfit. And the stuff that they were doing yesterday is clown college. Like, that's not the way that it's supposed to work at all. And you do wonder what public perception is. Like, I know that there are some candidates who have trepidation when it comes to working for the Bears as an organization. And that shouldn't be the case. The charter franchise of the NFL should have a similar reputation to the Steelers.
Right.
Now, granted, the Giants have a bad reputation, too. So I don't want to just act like the Bears and the McCaskies are the only old school family that have a bad rep. But this isn't the way that it's supposed to be at this point. Things are supposed to be better and they're not. And yesterday was another example of that being the case.
Yeah. And one thing that does frustrate me, Lawrence, is that when I hear talk about stadiums here and in Bronzeville and in Arlington Heights and redoing this and this, I'm like, you know what? Let's fix some football stuff and then let's get ourselves a football stadium. I'm fine with doing it in that order. You know what? You sign Ben Johnson or Matt Vrabel to a contract. Then let's talk contract. Let's talk stadium and stuff like that. Okay, I'm putting you on the clock here. You have a blank checkbook, which the Bears, I don't think, have a blank check, but you do. I'm going to give you two picks for the head coach of the Bears, the next head coach.
Okay.
Who you got?
I'm going to go. Wow. Okay. I got a blank check, right?
Yeah. Big check.
Ben Johnson is one of my choices.
You don't sound confident there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other person that I would choose because
if you want to pick one and have that's all
put every egg in the basket for Ben Johnson, I'm fine with that answer.
Yeah, that's probably what I, because I would look at some wild cards too. Like like Dan Lanning, for example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're
energetic young guy, Oregon head coach. That's a yes. Great, I really love that idea.
There are other people that I would be curious to talk with. And I always hope that there's someone that can wow you. And maybe that's what happens during this interim with Thomas Brown. Maybe he does for the Bears what Ozzie Guillen did for the White Sox,
yeah,
where they kind of just said, we should talk with Ozzie. And then Ozzie got in the interview and he blew it away. And they were like, no, this is our manager. Now, I'm talking about something that happened, you know, 25 years ago.
Oh, but it's a good precedent.
But the idea is sound of cast a wide net, see who you can talk to here, and make some choices based off of that.
Yeah, it does feel like, as much as we talked about the issues with the Bears front office, management, ownership, the attractiveness of Caleb Williams on a rookie contract and guys like Adunze and Swift, and you have the formula, I think it's a much more attractive job personnel-wise than the Jets or even the Jaguars. I don't think that Trevor Lawrence is more attractive in any way than Caleb Williams right now in his career. And I think the Caleb Williams attractiveness will help the Bears a ton.
It's Caleb Williams, and it's the rookie quarterback contract too.
Yep.
The reason why Trevor Lawrence isn't as attractive, his play notwithstanding, is because of the money that he is owed. Like that contract that they signed him to limits what you can do from a roster building standpoint. That's not the case with Caleb Williams. You got another 3 years to figure all of this stuff out. And with the right people in place, you can make it happen. And it looks like this guy is moving in a great direction. Like Paulie, he hasn't thrown an interception in 2 months.
For the fourth quarter, he looks beautiful in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And the fact that I was talking about it on the air yesterday, and I know that people got really excited about Jaden Daniels at the beginning of the year, and they should. He's been terrific. I know that there's a group of people that are out here telling you that Bo Nix is that dude in Denver.
The Bo Nixers.
And his team might go to the playoffs this year. I'm telling you, the rookie of the year is playing in Chicago.
All right.
And remember, I'm what people call a quote-unquote Justin guy.
You're a fieldist.
I'm telling you. The rookie of the year plays in Chicago.
You've been converted. Lawrence Holmes, 670 The Score, to Spiegel and Holmes. Love listening to your show every day. By the way, you're both a Roseland guy, South Side, right? 100 and what street?
Well, 112. Grew up on 112, played ball on 107.
Okay, I was born on 104th Street. And Amazing. Then I'm a Marion Catholic guy, Chicago Heights, Glenwood guy. You're a Homewood Flossmoor guy?
Yeah, the Marion is where the only place you went wrong. You know, there's a lot of good people in Glenwood and Chicago Heights, but going to Marion, if you had a choice, you would have ended up at Bloom, right? Is that what the issue is?
I would have gone to Bloom. Yeah, I was a little
all
more.
Right, then you made the right choice. You made the right choice. If the choice was Marion or Bloom, then you made the right choice. But if the choice was Marion or HF,
right.
And I can't forgive that, Paul.
I was considering going to HF, but my mom didn't have a BMW, and I didn't feel cool rolling into the parking lot with you and your friends.
Brother, that wasn't me in the parking lot. I had a bike. That's what I was rolling on. I was rolling on a 10-speed, and got there, and the culture shock was amazing. For a kid from Roseland, when I'm rolling around, Ben Bradley, I went to Ben's house for the first time, and I was like, what do you mean you have an exit from your bedroom onto a pond that's in your backyard?
And you're rolling on a Schwinn.
Man, I'm on a Schwinn riding up in Olympia Fields.
Yeah.
Like a crazy person. Like Valmer Road. Like, what am I doing?
Oh, rolling on a Schwinn. You're Schwinning. All right, Lawrence Holmes, great to have you on the tailgate. We have you back. Love listening to you and Spiegel every day. Thanks for coming on, man.
Paulie, you're the man. Thank you so much.
I've known Lawrence forever. It's great to have him on the show. Let's get to it. We're up against the break. Pub and Grub of the Week, my Bears prediction for what's going forward with them. Not the game, but bigger picture. That's next. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Papp.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this, Nate.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian know about it?
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Papps. Think about this for a second. 24 hours ago, Matt Eberflus was still the head coach of the Bears and getting ready to do his press conference to recap the Lions game. That's how much changed in 24 hours. Wild day. Coming up after this show, the Rally House. Go to the Rally House. Mark Grody, Gabe Ramirez. Right after the show, 8 to 11, get you ready for Illinois versus Northwestern. A little aside here, I do want to say, when the news broke yesterday, I've been listening to the score for a long, long time. It was all hands on deck. Like I said, from the big guy to the youngest producer here, people were at their parents' house and with grandparents, and I have a company holiday, and people scrambled and got here to cover one of the biggest stories in recent Bear history, getting rid of a head coach midseason. Proud to be on the network, proud to be on the station. It's good to be on the score. Let's get to it. This is the tailgate, and this is what we do. Pub and Grub of the Week, go to Naperville. This is a lovely place, Jackson Avenue Pub in Naperville. A lot of brick, a lot of wood, 17 kinds of burgers. I'll go to Naperville for that. All my high school friends moved to Naperville. Another quick aside, DePaul basketball is now 7-0. I know this is the tailgate, we talk football, but when DePaul basketball is 7-0, I feel warm inside. It's great. Tough schedule ahead, but 7-0 is 7-0, and I love to see it. Time for the Bears fan morale meter. Last week, we were at a 4.4. It was brutal. It actually went up after the Packers loss. And if you look at the Minnesota game and the Lions game, as much as it was awful and embarrassing ways to lose, I feel so much better about Caleb Williams, and that is the future of this franchise. I'm putting the morale meter right now at 3.9, but you know what? The future is bright-ish if the right moves are made in the next few weeks. They have a good roster. They have a quarterback on a rookie contract that could take charge in the fourth quarter. So while it feels dour today, if the right moves are made at the head coaching position and other positions maybe, the Bears have a great future. Bears prediction time. There's no game this weekend, so let's do another prediction. The coach and the stadium. I think the stadium is going to go on the back burner for a while. I think Bears fans are going to be very frustrated with this franchise, and more talk about a new stadium is going to get pushed to the side, and I think the stadium is going to take a while. The next coach, Ben Johnson, come on down. Get yourself a Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions. Come from the parade. Then get yourself some hot dogs and come down here. Quick reminder, college games today, Michigan, Ohio State, Tennessee, Vandy. But that's it. This is the tailgate. I think I speak for all of us. This has been a long, long season. It feels like 25 weeks, not 11 or 12. The one thing I know is that we have no idea what's going to happen next in Bearland. Like I said, 24 hours ago. But it won't be boring. Talk to you next week, next Saturday. I'm Paul Papps. This is the tailgate, 670 The Score.